اللي دروس هذه ان شاء الله. اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا مولانا محمد وعلى ال سيدنا ونبينا مولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى، وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. اما بعد، اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يرفع الله الذين امنوا منكم والذين اوتوا العلم درجات. وقال تعالى: قل هل يستوي الذين يعلمون والذين لا يعلمون انما يتذكر اولو الالباب. وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: من يريد الله به خيرا يفقهه بالدين، او كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. As the MC rightly said, I'm a graduate of the madrasa, so I consider myself as a student sitting before other students making takrar, revising my sabak. And just like when a student comes to this institute, he's given a student number. So I also have a student number like you. So I'm considered as one of you, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put the right words. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of making amal, inshallah. Hazrat Maulana Salim Dora Sahib, Dhan Barakat, to explain once, he said that Darul Ulum can be considered like the womb of a mother. When a child is born, then sometimes a child is born perfect. But child does not have any choice in it. If Allah Ta'ala wills, the child will be born perfect. Sometimes the child is born blind, or sometimes deformed, the limb is missing, etc. That is not within the capability and the choice of the student, or of that child. But he said in the Darul Ulum, a person should be considering himself in the womb of the mother. Here the child, the student has a choice. And if he progresses, he does well, he studies diligently, then he will come out very good and come out perfect, inshallah. Otherwise, if a person in the Darul Ulum, he wastes his time, he comes here to play, to get involved in all frivolous activities, etc., then the child that becomes deformed has no choice to go back into the womb of the mother and become normal. So in a similar vein, that child or that student in the madrasa, when he comes, leaves the environment of the madrasa, then it is already done. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this great ni'mat and bounty of this Darul Ulum. Darul Ulum is the name of Tawheed, of safeguarding the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of bringing alive the five branches of deen. Darul Ulum is that institute, and alhamdulillah, this institute is a branch of the institute of Darul Ulum Deoband, where the seed was planted, where one student and one ustad under a pomegranate tree, and that laid the foundation of Darul Ulum Deoband to combat the evil forces of the British at that time. And Darul Ulum Deoband, alhamdulillah, has not only produced ulama. Darul Ulum has produced Darul Ulum throughout the length and breadth of the entire globe. So what a great ni'mat and bounty Allah Ta'ala has given us students, that He has afforded us the opportunity of coming to the Darul Ulum to study. What a great ni'mat and bounty Allah Ta'ala grant us the tawfiq of making shukr. Respected brothers and elders and students, وَإِنْ تَعُدُّ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُهَا. If you have to count and enumerate the bounties of Allah, this will be impossible. Allah Ta'ala has afforded the opportunity to study this deen. Hazrat Muhammad bin Sirin rahmatullahi said, إِنَّ هَذَا الْإِلْمَ دِينٌ فَانْظُرُوا أَمَّنْ تَأْخُذُ دِينَكُمْ. That this deen, this knowledge that Allah Ta'ala has given us is pure. It is deen. So look from which source are you going to get this knowledge. Ya Alhamdulillah, we got great asatiza, where we sit at their feet, we humble ourselves, we sit before them, and sina darsina, from heart to heart, the knowledge is being transmitted. Knowledge of the dunya, in today's time, can be termed as information. A perfect example for us to realize, understand, we know what happened in the last 2 years, the virus. There is a certain professor, a Muslim professor, an ulama, we used to quote him. He used to come on different platforms, radio stations, that is incumbent that there should be social distancing in the masjid. Social distancing when performing salah. That mask should be mandatory in every masjid. And he emphasized and people used to quote him. Just 2 days ago, now he has come out with a statement that to say that masks are useless. The social distancing that God held, it is useless. So that very same person at one stage was now pushing this agenda forward, that social distancing, mask, etc. So can you call this knowledge? This is not knowledge. This is actually information which changes all the time. And Allah Ta'ala has given us this pure knowledge. Today, unfortunately, the agenda is being pushed, unfortunately, from ulama, from other sectors, where they are encouraging people to go to universities, and even worse, encouraging young girls to go in the dens of fitna. And we know what happens in those dens of fitna, in the environment of evil. In organizations who congratulate the certain person has got 7 A's, 8 A's. Have you ever heard of any organization congratulating the farigheen of a Darul Uloom? MashaAllah, you became a Maulvi, you became a Alim, became a Hafiz, became a Mufti. So respective brothers, we should understand that this deen Allah Ta'ala has given us, this knowledge is noor. It is effulgence, it is light. This cannot be compared to the worldly knowledge. Normally, during the holiday period, December time, Allah give us tawfiq, we're going out in Jamaat. And many youngsters maybe join us, some of them in Matric. And you see, they wake up for tahajjud. I say, MashaAllah, such a good boy, wake up for tahajjud environment. So I ask them, what? What dua are you making? He said, I make dua, man. I get a good pass, exemption, and go to university. So I tell him, see, look at me, man. I went to Darul Uloom. So I asked him, how many A's you got? I said, I don't want to boast, but I got 8 A's. Said, 8 A's, ma? I said, shoo, you study very hard. I said, no, not actually. But A was for absent. I never went to matric. Alhamdulillah. One student was writing examination in the class, and now he's looking at the paper, and now he's looking baffled. All of a sudden, he takes the table upside down, and he's looking. So the examiner comes to him and said, what's wrong? He said, no, he's thinking in the paper, he has studied the table below. So now I'm looking, what's below the table? Another student was writing examination, and then all of a sudden, he started taking out his shirt, his tie, his pants, his vest, only left with his brief and underpants. So now everyone is looking at him, and you lost your marbles or something, you lost your senses. He said, no, what are you talking about? He's written in a paper, answer your paper in brief. So I got my brief on now. So Allah Ta'ala has given us this knowledge, respective brothers, respective students. Make shukr Allah Ta'ala has brought us to this institute. And as I mentioned, we are linked to Darul Uloom Deoband. The 5 qualities of Darul Uloom Deoband, and every branch of that madrasa needs to and will, inshallah, instill these qualities. Number one is to instill in the heart of every believer the burning love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The burning love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring it alive in every believer. Number two, to believe in true tawheed. That is, to shun all types of shirk, of kufr, of bid'at, of khurafat, all innovations, and to believe in true tawheed, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third one is to have such love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that love should supersede the love of the entire creation. And number four, to bring every facet of one's life, every department of one's life, from morning to evening, from birth to death, in accordance with the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And number five, within one's capability to spread and propagate this deen. And very, very important, respected students, is our intention. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ. Every action is judged according to our intention. It is mentioned in Nishapur, there was a madrasa called a Nizamiya madrasa, a very huge madrasa. And the person who was in charge was called Nizam al-Mulk. He was a very wealthy person, and he spent a lot of his resources on this center on this Nizamiya Madrasa or the Darul Ulum. As time went on gradually, he saw that the students now started lacking in their progress, and there was a downward spiral in regards to their results. So people came to tell him that it is best that you close your Darul Ulum and you use your resources somewhere else. Because people have come to the madrasa, have come to the Darul Ulum with ulterior motives. So Nizamul Muluk at night, he changed his appearance, he disguised himself. So he said, first hand, let me experience what is the situation. So he goes and engages the students. They don't realize that this is the principle. So he goes to the first person, he said, why you become an alim? So this person said, you know, my father in a certain town is a great jurist. And he's gone advanced in age. So very soon he's going to retire. So my intention of attaining the knowledge to gain the position of a jurist of that town. So that is the wrong intention as well. Then he went to another second student. Asked him, why are you studying knowledge? He said, Alhamdulillah, my father is being blessed. He's a khatib. He gives great sermons. And through the sermons, people shower him with wealth and gifts. So when he retires, I will take up his position. I will become a khatib. I'll also gain wealth and gifts. And like this, he went student to student and he found that no one's intention was for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to gain the deen. And then he thought to himself, I think, let me take the advice of that person, of that friend of mine, close the madrasa because it is totally useless. And whilst walking, he saw a student under candlelight. So he asked the student, that why have you come to study deen? And the student didn't even raise his eyes towards this person. So he tells him that, can't you see I'm busy, I'm learning my work. So he said, please tell me, I will leave you, but please tell me the reason of you studying over here. So he said, I've come to bring total deen into my life and earn the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for this I need knowledge. That is why I'm studying over here. So when that Nizamul Mulk, the principal of that madrasa, when he heard this, he said, shukar alhamdulillah, at least one student has got the correct intention. And then this student told him, if you don't mind, I need to carry on with my studies. And who was that student, respected student? There was none other than Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi. Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi, one of his nasihat, he mentioned that just like salah, which is an external ibadat, it requires our external limbs, movement of our limbs. It requires external purification of wudu and ghusl. He said, likewise, the knowledge of deen, the knowledge of hadith, the knowledge of Quran, this is a matter of internal. Just like salah is external ibadah, requires external purity, the knowledge of deen requires internal purity. That our heart needs to be clean, free from all evil characteristics. On occasion, Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi said that knowledge which makes a alim or a student of deen proud, and brings pride in him, is far worse than that person who does not have knowledge. It's far worse than the person who has ignorance. So this deen, respected elders and brothers and students, is noor. When our Mazhar Sahib, Dan Barakat, explained, one is you get the knowledge of deen from kitab, from Bukhari Sharif, from Tafsir, whatever kitab, you get that knowledge. But the noor of that knowledge, one is ilm of kitabs, and one is the noor of the ilm. The noor of ilm you get at the heart of the awliya Allah, the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Abrar al-Haq sahab rahmatullahi alayhi, once he was traveling to Jeddah, and then they stopped at a petrol station, and Hazrat noticed that there was a fuel tanker. That also, that fuel tanker, someone was putting fuel into his fuel tank. So, Ma'arawal Haqqab, rahmatullahi, commented, and he said, see, this tanker got so much of petrol on its back, 50,000 meters, 30,000 meters, whatever it may be, but he cannot move forward with that petrol until unless that engine itself has petrol in it. The tanker has petrol in his fuel tank. So he said, just like that, a alim of deen has got so much of knowledge, alhamdulillah, so he studied for 6 years, so many kitabs he studied. But if he does not have the noor and the fuel of the taqwa and noor of amal, then he will not be able to go forward. So when that person has the noor of amal, the noor of taqwa, then he will be able to disseminate that knowledge. He will be able to go far and wide. Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thani, rahmatullah alayhi, this mention about him, someone asked him in one manfuzat, that how did you achieve such great status amongst people, amongst the masses? The widely renowned scholar, Mawlana Hakimul Ummat. So he said that we students just like you, we studied kutubs. But together with kutubs, I studied also kutub. That means we studied in the presence of the Ahlullah. We associated with the Ahlullah, the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I read in another malfuzat of his, he mentioned that during my student days I wasn't very hard working. I never did much mujahada and spiritual exercise, etc. But few things, he said, this was the tawajju and the du'as of my ustad. And how did this come about? Because of the respect I showed to my ustad. Most respect that I showed to my kitab, even respect to the pen, the kitab, the writing material, everything. Mufti Kifayatullah, on one occasion he was giving a lesson, and then he mentioned, he asked the students, how is it that Mawlana Anwar Shah Kashmiri Rahmatullah, how did he reach that stage? So those who are inclined to tafsir said he was a mahir, he was an expert when he came to tafsir. Another student said, who was inclined towards ahadith, he said he was a mahir, he was a person who was well known for his knowledge of hadith, he was an expert. Another said because of fiqh. So Mufti Kifayatullah Rahmatullah said, actually, Mawlana Anwar Shah Kashmiri Rahmatullah was asked this question. And he said, the answer for this was because of the respect I had for my kitabs. So they told him, Hazrat, that many people have a respect for the kitabs. So what do you mean? Explain. He said, never ever did I sit in a dars of any lesson except that I had wudu. And if I had any fiqh kitab, I would not take any art book or any exercise book or scrap book and I will put on top of the fiqh kitab. And I will take a fiqh kitab and put it on top of a hadith kitab. And never did I take a hadith kitab and put it on top of a tafsir of the Quran al-Kareem. And never ever did I stretch my legs. Whenever I had kitab, I always had it at my head side. Never at my feet side. That way it comes to the situation that I spread my legs towards the direction of the kitab. He said, because of this, Allah Ta'ala has given me this knowledge. So this knowledge, a person has respect for it, and Allah Ta'ala will give him. Sacrifice also. Shaykh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda mentioned, Safahat min Sabr al-Ulama, he mentioned one incident of Muhammadin, of four people who had the names of Muhammad. One was Muhammad bin Jarir al-Tabri, Muhammad bin Ishaq al-Khuzaymah, Muhammad bin Nasr al-Mazrawi, and the fourth one, Muhammad bin Harun al-Ruyani. So these four Muhammad, great ulama of the time, they had traveled on one occasion together and they reached Misr, they reached Egypt. And as they were studying a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, their resources became less and they were in a dire need, dire necessity, where they were starving. So they decided they will draw lots. whichever name Muhammad bin comes out, he will have the task of going to ask of people for food. So they drew lots, and it so happened that Muhammad bin Ishaq al-Khuzaymah, his name came out. So when his name came out, he said, give me some respite, let me make wudu, I will perform 2 rakat salah and beg from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whilst he was begging from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he heard a knock on the door. One of the courtiers of the person Ahmad bin Tulun of that time, who was the ruler of Egypt, came. And he knocked on the door. When the door was open, he asked, who is Muhammad bin Nasr? He said, this is Muhammad bin Nasr, with ishara. He gave him 50 dinars. Who is Muhammad bin Jarir? At-Tabri, he directed him, this is Muhammad bin Jarir, gave him 50 dinars. Who is Muhammad bin Harun? This is Muhammad bin Harun, 50 dinars. He said, where is Muhammad bin Khuzaymah? He said, he's performing salah. He said, keep his 50 dinars. And then he explained that Muhammad bin Tulun, at the time of Qaylula, Siesta, he saw in a dream a person telling him, admonishing him and telling him, that there are 4 Muhammads that are sacrificing their time, and they are in the verge of hunger, and you are enjoying your sleep. How can it be so? And immediately he told his khadim, go. And then he said that if you have any other need, then come straight to me. These were the sacrifices of the people of the past. Time is very, very short. I wanted to say a few other things, but inshallah we'll just mention to wrap it up. That as students never become independent of our madari, of our asatiza, of our mashayikh. That manhaj, that mizaj of our ulama, the ulama diyubun of our asatiza, this should remain with us till our last breath, inshallah. This mention of Imam Abu Yusuf Rahmatullahi, very briefly, on one occasion, Muhammad bin Imam Abu Yusuf, he was sitting on a turquoise carpet, eating faluda with pistas. And he was in a company of Harun Rashid, the king of the time. And then when this was brought to him, he started smiling. So Harun Rashid asked him, what makes you smile? He said, I remember the time when we were very, very poor, and my father insisted I should go work to earn money. But I was so attracted to Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi, that I came to sit in his circles and gain knowledge. But when my father came to know about it, he came and he admonished me, and he told Imam Abu Hanifa that I'm not going to send my son again. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi, his wisdom, sirasat, he said that don't worry, I will look after you, I will give you some finance. Because a time will come where this youngster will grow up, he will be sitting on a turquoise carpet, and he will be eating in the presence of the king of the time, faluda and pista. Subhanallah. This was the firasa of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi. So many other kisahs of Imam Muhammad I wanted to say, but we'll just discuss this Imam Abu Yusuf rahmatullahi. Imam Abu Yusuf rahmatullahi, it is mentioned that in 23 years, he performed salah only in the masjid of Imam Abu Hanifa. They asked him why. He said that I feared that Imam Sahib has to speak after the Faraz Namaz, then I might miss out something. 19 to 23 years in the service of Imam Sahib. On one occasion, a famous incident where his son had passed away. Now in the predicament that it is sunnah not to delay the burial, the kafan, dafan. But on the other hand, if I go, I will miss out on the lesson. So he said, to fulfill the sunnah of the quick burial of kafan and dafan, he ordered and stuck to someone else, you all take care of this janazah, I will go and sit in the company of Imam Abu Hanifa. Now when he became, later on, he excelled and became very, very sick and weak. So Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi used to come and go and visit him. So Imam Abu Hanifa made this dua. He said, if only Imam Abu Yusuf has to live after me, because I fear he has to pass away, then a great wealth of knowledge is going to be wasted. Allah Ta'ala made it such that he regained his health. Now someone whispered in his ears, this was the statement of Imam Abu Hanifa, your ustad, he's saying this about you. So to say, in inverted commas, he got the air of confidence. He started having his own halaqah, his own circle, and many people were attracted towards him. So Imam Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, Imam Abu Hanifa, he noticed that he couldn't see Imam Abu Yusuf in a gathering. So he asked, where is Imam Abu Yusuf? Ahad, he got better, where is he? So they told him, this is the story, that now he is already established his own circle, his own halqa. So to say, he got his own independence now from Imam Abu Hanifa. So Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi call one student and say, go to Imam Abu Yusuf rahmatullah alayhi and ask him one question. Tell him that if a person takes a garment to a laundry, to the laundry person, to wash it, with the fee of one dirham, and then he gives it and he goes, and after some time the person now comes to receive this garment. Now this person, the washerman, the laundryman tells him, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know anything about this garment. Neither that I see you, neither that I receive it from you. Then after some time, he gives him this garment. It is already washed, he gives it to him. So Imam Abu Hanifa tells the student, go ask Imam Abu Yusuf, is that laundryman entitled to that one dirham? And if he says yes, tell him you are incorrect. And if he says he is not entitled to the dirham, again tell him you are incorrect. So both instances you are incorrect. So this person came and he asked Imam Abu Yusuf rahmatullahi. So Imam Abu Yusuf rahmatullahi gave it a thought. He said, no, you have to pay that one dirham. He said, you are incorrect. Imam Abu Yusuf rahmatullahi started thinking. He said, no, he's not entitled. He said, no, you are incorrect. Immediately he stood up and he came into the presence of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi. When Imam Sahib saw him, he said, it looks like the masla of ijara has brought you over here. And Imam Sahib commented that a person who has the authority of speaking, air of confidence, and establishes his own circle, can't even answer one simple masla of ijara. So he said, Imam Sahib, please tell us what was the masla. So Imam Sahib explained that if he washed it and then he usurped it, then that person is entitled to the dirham. Why? Because he first washed it for the owner. He first washed it for the owner, then his intention changed to usurp that garment. But if he usurped it and then he washed it, then he is not entitled, because why? He washed it for himself. Then the comment that is striking, Imam Sahib said that person who seeks independence and istighnaf from his elders and his asatiza should cry over his plight. So respected students, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of humbling ourselves before our asatiza, respecting our asatiza, respecting his institute, and making shukr for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this last point I will end up with, as Shaykh Muhammad bin Hamid Sheikh has mentioned a very beautiful article. He says, a person wants to sign a check. Now he has the opportunity of choosing any pen he wants. So he chooses the pen and he signs the check for maybe million rand, billion rand. Now it's a sign of foolishness if that now that pen says some achievement of my side. I've accomplished something. He starts boasting and he starts showing off. This is a sign of foolishness. Why? Because that owner of the pen could have chosen any other pen. In a similar vein, when it comes to the khidmat of deen, we need to make shukr. If Allah Ta'ala has chosen us, in spite of our shortcomings and our weaknesses, if Allah Ta'ala chooses us, alhamdulillah. But now we become like that pen. We boast. We start showing off. This is some achievement accomplished in our mind. Just like that pen has shortfalls and has limitations. For example, the ink. Either the ink will dry up, the pen needs to be replaced. Or the cartridge of the ink dries up, now the cartridge needs to be replaced. In a similar vein, if Allah Ta'ala uses us, And we also have our shortcomings. We also have our limitations. Once we gone, Allah Ta'ala will use someone else. No one is indispensable. No one is irreplaceable. Allah Ta'ala can choose whoever he wants. So we make shukr, whatever khidmat of being we are doing, make shukr unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the same token, that paper boasts that I am the one who is worth millions. That pen was a means of transferring millions and billions of rand. That student of deen, or that alim of deen, Allah Ta'ala uses him to transfer knowledge. Transfer a person from Jahannam to Jannat. From the zulumat towards noor. From fisk and fujur towards taqwa. Now that page now boasts. Now there is no error and mistake from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If a person commits a mistake, then what happens? The person, he writes cancel on that check. He takes that check, he squashes it, he throws it in a waste bin. So we shouldn't dry up our intentions. Like how that pen dries up, the ink dries up, we shouldn't dry up our intentions that we do it for name and fame. Neither dry up our rewards by boasting. And that paper shouldn't also make fakhr that I am the one worth millions and billions. If that owner of the checkbook, he could have used another check paper. Allah Ta'ala forbid, Allah save us. It shouldn't happen that a person involved in deen, but now he becomes cut off of deen. So to say, cancel is written for that person. Now you adopt avenues and ways which are against the tariqah and manhaj and mizaj of our elders, against the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The deen is pure, and the means of propagating of deen is true. It's pure. So let us not go in that direction where it is the YouTube or sitting in front of a television set, Allah forbid, or in cameras, etc. Rather, we adopt the manhaj and the mizaj of our pious elders. Allah give me and call us as a tawfiq. Wa akhir da'wan. Alhamdulillah, ya Rabbil Alameen.